Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. We'll read verses 53 through 58 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, may we stop and take the time to realize we don't realize how big today is for the future. Lord, I wonder 2,000 years ago if people in Jerusalem realized how big that day was when Jesus was born, when he took upon him the form of man to be our Savior, our Lamb. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Boy, I can't help it. Right at the end of the Star Spangled Banner, it just seems like somebody ought to say, play ball. All right. Thank you, ladies. That was fantastic. Tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon called The Prophecies of Jesus. The study of prophecy is good. It's not just for our increased knowledge, though. It's not just for our entertainment. It's not just for our admiration of a little information. It should cause us to live better. Prophecy should change our lives, not just fill our heads. Prophecy should move us to action for the cause of Christ. Boy, you can announce the topic of prophecy and people's antennas go up and, boy, that's exciting and that's thrilling. Usually out of a desire to be entertained a bit. And they'd like to know some of that that stuff that's been predicted in the Bible. I believe that God intended this whole book to change us and to change us for the better. We are going to talk about the prophecies of Jesus tonight, but we're going to talk about it not just to fill our heads, but to motivate our lives to do something more for him. You earlier read with Brother Bush, Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. What has happened here is Jesus goes back to his hometown, Nazareth. He went to the synagogue there, and he amazed them. He began to talk about his scriptural knowledge, and they were just amazed at what he knew. The Bible says that the doctors or the theologians of the day were sitting there, and they were listening to him and were amazed with what he said. But the Bible says that they rejected him. They rejected him because this was the Jesus that had grown up there. They had watched him grow up. And they rejected him. It actually says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, it says, They were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And here he is saying that you are rejecting me, if you will. You're not giving honor to my position. I grew up here, and the only place where a prophet would not be honored properly might be around his own family, or might be around in his own hometown. But I notice Jesus himself calls himself a prophet. Jesus says it. Jesus said unto them, a prophet. He was referring to himself. Now, there's something else I want to point out to you here. You read it earlier, but let me read it to you again. In Matthew 13, verse 58, it says, And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, Jesus was a prophet, They rejected him, and because they rejected the belief in him being a prophet, the Bible says he did not many mighty works. Somehow, you're going to have to believe that Jesus is a prophet to qualify to see Jesus do many mighty works. I don't know about you, but those words there, many mighty works, entice me. I want to see God do many mighty works. And I want that for our church, and you ought to want that for yourself. But Jesus said, I have been rejected, and the Bible says they rejected the idea that Jesus Christ was a prophet, and by rejecting that, by not believing it, he did not do many mighty works. Now let me tell you something. Everything that Jesus says is true. All the Bible is his inspired word, not just the red letters. You know, sometimes you get a red letter edition and you say, well, right there, those red letters, those red words, those are the words of Jesus Christ. Well, the black ones are the words of Jesus Christ too. Those red letters just mean that's something that came out of his physical mouth that they recorded, and that is while he was down here on earth. Many years before, it came out of God's mouth in heaven, and he is the Son of God, and so all of it is the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of what we call books in the Bible that are considered books of prophecy. The book of Daniel is filled with prophecy. The book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah, Nahum. You look through it. The book of Jonah has prophecy in it. Boy, there are those prophecies that quickly seem to grab for our attention. You start talking about the tribulation period. And people want to set up and they want to learn about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a wonderful thing. The mark of the beast, 666. And we wonder about that. We'd like to learn that prophecy. The prophecies about the false prophet and the Antichrist and the way that they'll come to reign and the power that they'll have. The prophecies about the abomination of desolation and the things that the false prophet and the Antichrist will be responsible for. And that interests us very much. But, you know, most people do not refer to Jesus as a prophet. We see him as the Son of God. We see him as the Savior. We see him as a king. We see him as our mighty priest. But very few actually think of Jesus Christ as a prophet. Let me say something. All prophecy, in essence, is of Jesus Christ. Yeah, everything that Daniel said, he got it from Jesus Christ. Everything that Jeremiah said in regard to prophecy, it came from Christ. The prophecies found in the book of Ezekiel find their roots from Jesus Christ. It was God that was whispering in the ear by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God into the ear of Hosea and Joel and Amos. And as they penned their prophecies in their books, it was all coming from Jesus. Jesus, indeed, is a prophet. But I want you to know, there's some prophecy that he gave while he was here on this earth. There was prophecy being fulfilled around him continuously. Let me show you some prophecies made by Jesus Christ while he was on the earth. I want you to see the prophecy, and I want you to hear how it was fulfilled. Listen to this very carefully. There was a time when Jesus predicted a great catch of fish. Now, let me read this to you. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 4, the Bible says this. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Here's what happened. Simon Peter and some of the apostles were out fishing. Jesus was not with them necessarily, and they see Jesus. And they had been, Simon and the fishermen had been fishing all night, and they had caught nothing. Jesus is standing there, and Jesus prophesies where the fish are. He prophesies if they would put their net on a certain side of the boat that they would catch a bunch of fish. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty tough prophecy. It's pretty tough. He did not have a fish finder. He didn't have the electronics of our day. So Jesus here says to some men, I prophesy you need to put your net on the other side of the boat and you're going to catch so many fish they won't stay in the net. And these men are, they've been fishing all night long. Let's see how the prophecy comes out. That was found in Luke chapter 5, verse number 4. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 5, it says, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have told all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net." And you know what the Bible says? The next thing you know, there are so many fish in that net, they don't know what to do with them all. See, Jesus prophesied a great catch, and there was a fulfillment 2 verses later that they caught all those fish. So you understand, that was prophecy. That was prophecy. Jesus Christ prophesied to Peter. His prophecy came perfectly true. Then Jesus recommends to Peter about how to get some money to pay his taxes. Here's the prophecy. In Matthew 17:27, it says, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast in a hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee." Here's what had happened. They had been asked for tribute money from the government. Jesus and Peter were talking about it. They didn't have the money, if you will, to pay their taxes. And Jesus says, "I'm going to tell you what to do, Peter. We're going to catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth, we're going to find the coin that it's going to take to pay the taxes." Now, can you imagine what it would have been like for that little fishing trip for Peter? Now, I think that would have been exciting, knowing that he is going to catch a fish, and once he caught the fish, he's going to open the fish's mouth and find money in it. Now, this I know. I know that Jesus, he was teaching them about the importance of being honest and paying your taxes. They had to catch the fish. The taxes had to be paid, or Jesus Christ would have broken a law that he had just recommended needed to be kept. And if he would have broken the law, that would have made Jesus Christ a sinner. And so, when this prophecy was fulfilled, can you imagine how Peter felt? I mean, Jesus prophesies Peter's going to go fishing and catch a fish with a coin in his mouth. I picture when Peter pulls that fish out and he sticks his fingers in and he finds that coin. Oh, what a wonderful day when Peter got to be a part of the fulfilling of prophecy. Here's a prophecy. In John chapter 11, verse number 11, it says this. "These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." The word sleep there is not like a couple of you are doing right now in church. See, that sleep that you're experiencing right now is temporary. Lazarus' sleep that Jesus was referring to was permanent. He was dead. And Jesus now says, Lazarus is dead, but I am going to bring him back from the dead. And then you see the fulfillment of that prophecy just a few verses later in John 11, verse 43 and 44. It says, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go." Jesus prophesied in John 11:11 that Lazarus wouldn't stay dead, and then the prophecy comes to pass in John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44. That was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. He predicted that a dead man would come back to life. You see, he predicted if you'll fish in this spot, you'll catch fish, and they caught fish. He predicted if you go fishing, you can catch a fish with a coin in its mouth to pay our taxes, so we're honest. He predicted or prophesied that Lazarus, who is dead, would come back to life. He predicts something else. He prophesies once again. He prophesies that Judas will betray him. The prophecy is found in John chapter 6, verse 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Here Jesus predicts that someone's going to be a turncoat, someone's going to be disloyal, someone is going to turn on Jesus Christ. That is his prophecy. That is his prediction. Now, we find the fulfillment of that prophecy in Matthew 26, verse 47 and 48, it says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast." Now, You say, well, brother, that prophecy's not like the prophecy of the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. Oh, yes, it is. That was Jesus Christ. Can you imagine standing there and hearing Jesus say, one of you is going to betray me? He knew it was going to be Judas. Just a few hours later, Judas shows up. He's accepted 40 pieces of silver. He's sold Jesus Christ out. I'm going to guess there were people raising an eyebrow saying, I think this guy knows what he's talking about. And he did. Jesus prophesies. Jesus prophesies where you can catch fish. Jesus prophesies that you can catch a fish with a coin in its mouth to help pay the bills. Jesus prophesies a Lazarus that is dead will be brought back to life. Jesus prophesies that Judas will become disloyal and betrayed him. He also prophesies that his disciples will scatter and leave him at the time of his death. The prophecy comes in Matthew 26, verse 31. It says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus is saying that when the tough time comes, a bunch of you are going to put your tail between your legs and run. I'm sure that there were some men standing there saying, well, not me. Matter of fact, Peter definitely said, not me. No way. But there were others, I'm sure, that said, oh, no way. We're not going to do it. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus says something, you can go to the bank on it. If Jesus prophesies something about you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Here's the fulfillment. Matthew 26, 56. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all his disciples forsook him and fled. They all turned tail and ran. Why? Well, Jesus has said, I know you're all going to run and hide. It's going to get so tough. You're not going to stick with me. And that's exactly what happened. Wouldn't that be a sad prophecy about you? Wouldn't it be sad if Jesus had looked at your life and looked at the kind of stand that you're willing to take and say, I prophesy you won't last long. Oh, how sad. Hey, here's another prophecy that came forth out of the mouth of Jesus Christ when he was God come in the flesh. This is when Peter denies the Lord. The prophecy is found in Matthew 26, verse 33. It says, Peter answered him and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Peter says, hey, you may say that, but I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be ashamed of you. I'm not going to deny you. Well, Jesus had said, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to be offended with me. That's the prophecy. Sure enough, in John chapter 18, verse 17, the Bible says, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, that's Peter, I am not. I am not. There's the prophecy fulfilled. Jesus had predicted that Peter would be ashamed of him. Peter said, there's no way that prophecy's going to come true. Next thing you know, Peter has denied Christ and been offended when he was associated with Jesus. The prophecies. You see, Jesus prophesied many things. He prophesied where they could catch fish. He prophesied paying the bills through finding a fish with a coin in his mouth. He prophesied that Lazarus would come back to life. He prophesied that Judas would betray him. He prophesied that the disciples under pressure would leave him. He prophesied that Peter would deny him and be offended with him. He also prophesied his own death and resurrection. The prophecy is found in John 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was talking about the temple of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that body that God had given him. He said, they're going to destroy me, but in 3 days, I'll get up out of that grave. Oh, there's some of them trying to make an issue of it, saying, he's going to wreck the temple. They weren't talking about the physical temple. He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about his body. But even one, if anybody understood him, when he said, hey, you kill me, I'll get up out of the grave in 3 days, there were some that understood a little bit of what he was saying. They said, that's tomfoolery. There's nobody that can be in the grave and 3 days later come up out of that grave. Well, it's obvious they had not heard Lazarus' testimony. Had they heard just a little touch of that, they would have realized if he prophesies, you're getting up out of the grave, you're getting up out of the grave. If he prophesies, you're going to catch fish, you're going to catch fish. If he prophesies, he'll help you pay your bills through catching a fish, then he's going to help you pay your bills by catching a fish. If he prophesies that you're going to betray, you're going to betray. If he prophesies when it gets tough, you're going to run, then it's going to come true. What? Everything he says comes true. Everything he says comes true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was a prophet. And that prophecy of his death and his resurrection comes true in Luke chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, where it says, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He said he would go down, but he said he'd get up. He went down, but he got up. We call it Easter. It's really Resurrection Sunday. It was prophecy fulfilling day. You see, Jesus was a prophet. All prophecy in the Bible is of God. It is all his truth. It is all his material, if you will. But I want to give a little special attention to some prophecy that comes straight from the mouth of Jesus. But I want to show you some prophecy that is coming true and will come true possibly in our day. You say, like what? Okay, Jesus prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come to help us and guide us. That is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you John chapter 14, verse 16, 17, and 18. The Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. You know, we get this idea that prophecies always got to be about a four-footed beast with six horns, two eyeballs, and a tail that wags with a pink bow on the end of it. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus prophesied for you that the Holy Spirit would come to guide you and direct you. That is as much a prophecy of Jesus Christ as a prophecy in the book of Daniel about the end times. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. Let's do something. Let's be a part of the fulfillment of this prophecy. You know, I'll tell you something. Had I been the Apostle Peter and Jesus would have said, Apostle Jeff, that sounds good, isn't it? Apostle Jeff, Father Jeff, I wouldn't want to be a father. You don't get married, and there ain't no fool that don't want to do that. Apostle Jeff, go fishing, and you're going to catch a fish with a coin in his mouth. That would have been so exciting to be a part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Can you imagine being there the day that Jesus said, Lazarus is going to get up? There were the deniers, there were the disbelievers, but I think there were some people there that said, he said it, it's going to happen. I've seen this guy work. He knows what he's doing. And my friend, you have a chance to be a part of the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus Christ said before he died, he said, I am leaving, but I'm leaving part of me behind. The Holy Spirit of God, he is going to come, and he said, when I am in heaven, I'm leaving him behind. You get to be a part of modern day fulfillment. Fulfillment of prophecy. You say, how so? Hey, let him control you. Let the Holy Spirit of God control you. Let him convict you. Let him guide you as you study your Bible. Let him comfort you. Let him calm you. You say, oh, Brother Owens, I was hoping to have some of that prophecy about the mark of the beast. I don't know how much good that would do to you right now, but I can tell you this, the prophecy of the coming and the giving of the Holy Spirit of God could energize you and help you and change you tonight. Tonight. Hey, the prophecy of the Holy Spirit won't give you nightmares. I'm sorry, but it'll make you sleep better tonight. God predicted through Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit would come. Let me tell you something. I've seen the fulfillment of the prophecy. I've seen him move. I've seen him move this morning. I seen him move when I asked the question at altar call time. If you died this morning, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If not, why don't you get saved? Who here needs to be saved? I watched hands go up across the auditorium when the Holy Spirit of God began to reach down and convict men of their sins. You've seen it. The altar was full. The baptistry, the water was moved today. Why? Hey, Jesus predicted, he prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come and do a work, and we get to see it happen. The fulfillment of the prophecy of the Holy Spirit of God made by Jesus Christ, given to you and to me. Let me show you another prophecy. Jesus prophesied that we would become fishers of men. The disciples are to become fishers of men, he says in Luke chapter 5, verse number 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. The word henceforth there means from now on. Jesus was saying, you are one of my disciples. I am predicting that my disciples will become fishers of men from this time forth. Hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the prophecy that his disciples can catch men. I want to be a part of that prophecy. Hey, and some of you, you have been. You say, I've seen it this week, Brother Hoyce. I was a part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. My wife was saying, I think, had two or three young ladies saved in her Sunday school class this morning. You know what that means? This morning, Mrs. Owens, in the sixth grade girls' Sunday school class, the prophecy made in Luke chapter 5, verse number 10, the prophecy came true. One of his disciples has become a fisher of men from henceforth. Hey, want to be a part of modern day prophecy? Would you like to become a part of modern day prophecy? Way back, Jesus said, hey, from henceforth, you're going to become fishers of men. From henceforth, you're going to win the lost to Christ. From henceforth, you're going to help populate heaven. You're going to rob hell. Jesus predicts that obedient Christians will become soul winners. You want to be a part of prophecy? Do you? Why don't you join the bus ministry, become a part of prophecy? Why don't you grab your handful of gospel tracts and become a part of prophecy? Say, Brother Owens, I would like to hear about some prophecy. Tell me about the prophecy in the book of Daniel. Tell me about the prophecy in the book of Ezekiel. I can do one better than that. I can tell you about a prophecy that can be fulfilled tonight, right after church. You can go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and fulfill the prophecy that his disciples would catch men. Wow! You get to be a part of fulfillment of prophecy right before your eyes. You can be a part. I love this type of prophecy. I love the prophecy that says to us, we have a Holy Spirit that can and will guide us, prophesied straight out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. It was prophesied that his disciples would become fishers of men. I've been thinking, I'd like to make a prophecy of my own. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. Where's Brother Cooper? I'm going to need help. Brother Cooper, you out there? Come up here and help me. Tonight I am going to make a prophecy. I've been practicing prophesying. I prophesied that my checkbook would have no money in it. It's come true every time. Brother Cooper, come over here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to use you. You're going to be my crystal ball. So kneel down a little bit there. Yeah, it's working. Don't tell me you like that, buddy. All right, I'm going to look into my crystal ball here. I think you have a fever. It's getting hotter as we go along here. I think it's from embarrassment. You know, I'm going to predict something. I really think this will happen. I hope it does. I'm going to predict that our president, before he leaves office, will capture Osama bin Laden. I wish you'd pray to that end. I realize there are people that don't like President Bush very well, but I really think the man's done a lot of good. I really believe that. You know, that man will be hunted for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, his enemies will hunt him and his family. I'd really like to see him take Osama bin Laden down before he leaves office. I prophesy that that head will not grow hair either. Thank you, Brother Cooper. Makes a pretty good crystal ball. Or maybe it's a crystal bald. Is that what it is? Crystal bald? Prophecy. Prophecy. Somehow, when we think of prophecy, we almost complicate it beyond practicality. I think there's a little more to it than what we think. When Jesus said to Peter, hey, look, you can catch a fish if you cast your net on the other side, that was a prophecy, and the prediction came true. There are prophecies that you and I can be a part of. I think, here's a prophecy. Jesus prophesied that we could have greater works than he did. Listen to this, John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. There's prophecy. Jesus is saying here that you can do greater works than what I've done. I'd like to be a part of that prophecy. I really would. I would like to be a part of that prophecy. Jesus predicts that we can do greater works than he did. You say, how is that possible, Brother Owens? Well, see, his public ministry was only 3.5 years long. Only 3.5 years long. How long is your public ministry? How long have you been saved? Indeed, I realize that Jesus had a uniqueness about him because he was the Son of God. But let me tell you something. He only had 3.5 years to get the job done. I would think those of us that have 30 and 40 and 50 years ought to be doing more than what someone would accomplish in 3.5 years. That is not unreasonable. But wait a minute. It's not just something to enamor our thinking. It's not something that we should ignore. He said, I am predicting there are people, there are churches, there are works that will do greater works than I did. Wow. Wow. I think we ought to be winning a lot of souls to Jesus Christ. You know something? I do not know how many people Jesus got to take part in winning, but I know this. Oh, we know that there were 5,000 fed and then 4,000 fed. I don't know how many. But tell you this, Brother Bajan, how long have you been in the bus ministry? 30 years. I'll guarantee you that bus ministry's seen more saved than Jesus did in 3.5 years of public ministry. I'm not belittling. Jesus told us that would happen. He told us. He said, I am predicting that there are people and ministries that God will use in a powerful way, and you will exceed what I have accomplished in 3.5 years. Now you listen to me. Some of you're setting your sights way too low. Why don't you say, I want to be a part of the fulfillment of the prophecy of doing greater works than what Jesus did. Hey, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, let's be a part of modern day prophecy. Hey, let's rise up and do something great for God. Let's go and do greater works. It's available. It's available. You know, maybe it is. Maybe it is that we could win more to Christ. Maybe we could feed more hungry. Maybe we could encourage more discouraged than ever before. But it's a prophecy made by Christ. Here's another prophecy. Jesus prophesied that we will face persecution if we live for him. This one isn't as much fun. But it's a prophecy made by Jesus Christ upon you and me. It says in John 15, verse number 20 and 21, remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, and all they that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Listen to me, folks. You say, Brother Owens, there's somebody at work that is constantly giving me a hard time about my Christianity. You are a part of modern day prophecy. That is the fulfillment of the prophecy made by Jesus Christ in John 15. You say, Brother Owens, I've got family members that mock me because of my service to Christ. That's prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus said that was going to happen. Soul winners, you may be mocked for telling others about Jesus Christ. Recently, we had our kids' crusade, or Bible school to some. We went out and gathered up a bunch of boys and girls, and about 100 of them trusted Jesus Christ as Savior that week. I got a nasty letter. Letter came from someone that said, our family is Buddhist, and our girl came to your church, and you told her about Jesus, and she prayed, and she did this thing getting saved. She said, our girl's never coming back because of that. Now, I've got to ask myself this question. Why would a Buddhist send their daughter to a Baptist church? Maybe they thought because both began with a B, everything was going to be the same. That little girl may never be able to come back. But she got what she needed while she was here. She trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. They were not happy with me. They were upset with me. Persecution's going to come, folks. It's going to come. Jesus predicted it with his own mouth. He said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Living separate from the world, somebody's going to persecute you. Dressing different than the world, somebody's going to persecute you. When you don't party like the world, somebody's going to persecute you. When you carry your Bible, people are going to persecute you and laugh at you. When you don't listen to the dirty jokes that are told, somebody's going to think you're weird or strange. Hey, they're going to persecute you.
That's because Jesus Christ prophesied that if they persecuted him, they would persecute you. He said, well, nobody's persecuting me. Well, he said, those that live godly. Those that live godly, they're going to suffer the persecution. But Jesus Christ, what did he do? He prophesied. He prophesied the Holy Spirit would come. We get to be a part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus prophesied that we would become fishers of men. We get to be a part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus prophesied that we could do greater works than he did. We have at our disposal a part, being a part of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus prophesied that we would face persecution, and indeed we do, and indeed you will if you serve Christ. If you're a new Christian, if you've not been saved very long, I wish I could tell you that everybody's going to love you because you're saved. But they're not. They're not. They persecuted Jesus. They're going to persecute you. Let me give you another prophecy. Jesus prophesied that he would come again. Jesus said he was going to come again. In John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know something? The longer I live, the more I long for that day when Jesus comes again. Oh, the burdens and the heartaches and the heaviness of life. I look forward to heaven. I look forward to being with the Savior. But he prophesied it's going to come. You say, Brother Owens, you're going to think it's going to come soon? It's sooner than it's ever been before. Every day we go through, we're a step closer to when Jesus is coming again. But the Bible teaches this, my friend, there's coming a day. Only God knows when that day is. He's going to turn to Jesus and say, son, go get my children. And that day Jesus is going to come. He's going to break through the clouds. He's going to snatch us away. The word rapture is the word that's used. It is a Greek word, arapio. It means a snatching away. God's going to come. Jesus Christ is going to show up and he's going to say, come up hither. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. And he's going to call all the saved off this earth. And there's going to be mass chaos on this earth. All the saved people are going to be called up to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And chaos will break out on this earth. Everybody will wonder, where's the Christian? There'll be a husband that's saved and a wife that's not. They'll be laying in a bed together. The saved will be taken. The lost will be left behind. Hey, if a saved person is a pilot on an airplane, the minute Jesus calls, that pilot will be taken away. All the lost on the plane will go down with the plane and crash. The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again. Jesus himself predicted that it would happen. Now listen, if Jesus can predict where the fish are, and if Jesus can raise the dead, if Jesus can predict betrayal by his men, I'm going to guess he can predict that he's coming back, and he will. Everything he's ever said came to pass. You know, I'd like to be a part of that prophecy too. Oh, that'll beat going to Great America or Six Flags. There's not a ride at Six Flags over America that could beat the rapture ride. The rapture ride. You don't even have to stand in line. And those of you that get motion sick, don't worry. That'll all be taken care of. You're gonna have a perfect body. You won't get motion sick. You won't barf it on the rapture ride. But it's coming. You know, folks, one of the great things about it is we're going to have a quick exit out of this world. We don't have to go through the tribulation period. We'll be raptured out. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the saints of God. There's coming a day Jesus is going to pull us out of this mess. We'll leave this old world behind because this world's not our home. We're just a passing through. That's all. That's all. But he predicted it. He prophesied that. And I hope we get to take part in it. Let me give you one more, and I'm so sad to share this prophecy with you. Jesus prophesied that there would be some unsaved people who pose as saved people, but they'll be found out in the last day. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you.
Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, and they'll be cast into everlasting fire. All the other prophecies, I want you to be a part. But I don't want you to be a part of that prophecy right there. Jesus prophesies, there are people who have joined churches, but they've never been born again. When they get there, they're going to say, well, I was a church member. And Jesus is going to say, that wasn't good enough. You were to trust me as personal Savior. There'll be church members that will be cast into hell. There will be people that will say, I got baptized. Jesus will say, baptism never did save anybody. Never did save anybody. Jesus say, you'll have to go to hell. You were supposed to trust me as personal Savior. There are those that will say, well, they were professors, but not possessors. They profess, oh, I know him. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, hey, listen, there'll be tithers. There will be people that tithe all their life that will go to hell. There will be people that have taught in Bible colleges. There will be preachers, so-called, that have stood in pulpits but never trusted Jesus Christ. There will be those that have made their own little prophecies that will die and go to hell. There are people that believed in prophecy but were cast into hell because they were never saved. You see, salvation is a very personal thing. It is between you and God. You do, although it's a wonderful thing if you do it because mom wants you to or because dad wants you to, but I want to tell you something. You better make sure that you get born again for you. You need to get saved. You know, there are people that sit in churches all across this land, and they're not saved. And if they stood before God today, they would cry out and say, but I helped at the church picnic. I taught Sunday school. I took a Bible. I lived good. I lived right. The only problem is none of those things are what he's looking for. He's looking for someone that's trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you're here this evening and you've never been saved, the prophecy is, if you die that way, everyone will know because you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Don't let anything stop you from being saved. Is this prophecy given to warn you? Now, folks, the Bible clearly teaches, once you're saved, you're always saved. Done deal. I'm not trying to scare one single person out of their salvation. I don't do that. I want you to have the security of your salvation. I want you to know that you're saved. But you do have to know that you're saved. You do have to get saved. You've got to do that. And if you've never done it, you need to get saved. Don't become a part of this prophecy. Let me read it to you again. Matthew 7:22. These are words from Jesus Christ. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then the angels will throw them into the lake of fire. Oh, please, don't be